Lord, as always, we ask that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. May you speak to us now in your name. Amen. So, Christy, is today a good day?
You bet.
Every day with Christy is a good day. Bless her soul. And that's as it should be. We are given life. We have Jesus Christ as our Savior. He walks with us every day. In that sense, life is always good, isn't it? But of course, there's the other side. We live in a fallen world. We ourselves are fallen. And sometimes, even though life is good, it's also hard, isn't it? As you get older, I'm starting to get to that stage where things don't work quite as well as they used to. And then you have all the other things that are going on in your life. I have a grandniece who's 1 year old, not eating, throwing up blood. I have another niece who's about 51, cancer everywhere in her body that it's possible to have cancer. Probably 2, 3, 4 weeks left of her life. And then there's just the day and age we live in. Shooting at the university, shooting in Minnesota, Charlie Kirk, on and on down the list. Even today, I don't know if you heard, but there was a shooting in a church in Michigan. We live in strange times. And especially, I think, when we go through times like this, it's easy to dig in, to entrench, to play it safe, if you will. But that's not what Christ calls us to do, is it? So if you would, please turn with me to our text. We're in Matthew 14, 22 through 33. It's a very familiar story about the time that Peter walked on the water. And Peter, I just love Peter. Peter is a if-then type guy. If this is true, then this follows. And so he often took chances that the other disciples did not. He obviously chose not to play it safe. And I think we can learn a lesson from him. Now, if there's one thing that I hate, I mean, there's probably more than one, but there's one thing I hate, it's syrupy Christianity. Can't stand it. You know what I mean. Follow Jesus and everything will be roses, sunshine, yuck. So let me be frank with you. No matter who you are, where you are in your life, if you faithfully follow Christ, he most definitely will lead you to places that are sometimes way outside of your comfort zone. He will lead you to places you do not want to go. And this is what Jesus did in our text. Our text takes place after Jesus fed the 5,000, and then it says, verse 22, immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. What we're not told is that there's a storm that's going to come real soon, and I have to believe that Jesus knew this. And the Greek word translated as made is a strong word. It can be translated as necessitated or compelled. The King James translates it as constrained. The New Living Translation translated as insisted. In other words, Jesus didn't just suggest they get into the boat and start going across the lake. He forced them to do that. He made them do it. He insisted that they do it. And as I said, he did this, no doubt, knowing that he was sending them straight into a storm. Think about that for a moment. And then it says in verse 23, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. So apparently the storm arose while he's praying. We're told in verse 24, the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. Commentaries say that the waves in the Sea of Galilee can sometimes reach 6 feet high. might not have been that high, but they had to be significant because it was beating against the boat. Not just lapping against the boat. It was beating against the boat. In other words, the boat was being knocked over here and knocked there and knocked here, you know, being knocked all over the place. And the disciples, as our verse says, were a long way from land. It's possible they feared for their lives. At the very least, no doubt they were fighting with every ounce they had to reach the shore. And now remember, Jesus forced the disciples to get into that boat. Forced them to. Didn't suggest, didn't offer. He compelled them to get into the boat and sent them straight into the storm. Far from land, buffeted by the waves, in danger of losing their lives. Talk about Jesus sometimes sending us outside our comfort zone. So think for a moment, what things are outside your comfort zone? What are the places you don't want God to send you? Becoming a missionary to a tribe in Brazil? That would be outside my comfort zone. Speaking up for Christ at work? Ministering to the elderly in the nursing home or mentoring someone who's younger than you? Forgiving, truly forgiving someone who has hurt you deeply. Loving someone who is just downright unlikable. Dealing with cancer or a stroke. If you list 10 things that are outside your comfort zone, I will guarantee you that God will send you to at least one of those places and probably more. The truth is, we love our comfortable little boats, our comfortable little lives, but what does Jesus love? The world. The unruly, teeming, frustrating, broken and beaten 7 billion people that live here on this planet Earth. We seek often to make our little boats a better place to live in. While Christ roams the whole earth searching for those he can save and sanctify. And sometimes he calls us to come alongside of him outside our little boats so that we might work with him to save someone from sin. Remember that God's agenda for you and me is totally different than our own agenda for you and me. So once again, if you truly follow Jesus, I can guarantee you he will sometimes scare you, sometimes terrify you by sending you directly into a storm. So like I said, no syrupy Christianity from me. Where then is the grace in this message? It's all over the place. And namely, in this one, it's that God calls us and forces us into the storm, but when he does what? He always meets us there. Always. Even when we're far from land and the wind's blowing, the boat's rocking, we're fearing for our life, he still meets us there, doesn't he? As the saying goes, the will of God will never take you where his grace cannot keep you. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch is between 3 and 6 a.m., so the disciples have been battling the waves for a long time. No doubt the disciples by this time felt forsaken. No doubt they were tired from struggling. But what is the wind or the waves to Jesus Christ? It's a small thing for him to walk on the water. Now, I don't know about you, what pictures you have of Jesus walking on the water, but the ones I've always seen, remember those old flannelgrams? The ones I've always seen are so pastoral. In the pictures I've seen, it is daytime. The sun is shining. The waves are maybe 4, 5, 6 inches high. This wasn't the case. It was nighttime. The waves were maybe as high as 6 feet. The wind was blowing. The waves were whipping the boat all over the place. And then again, in the pictures I've seen, when the disciples see Jesus, it's again, they see, it's so pastoral. They see Jesus and walking to them on the water, and it's like, oh, that's nice. But remember, they were fighting the storm. So as Jesus came walking to them, I would imagine they only had time as they're trying to bail out the ship, and I don't know what else they had to do to fight the storm. But as they're trying to save the boat and save themselves, they glance up, and every once in a while, maybe they caught this image of, did I just see someone? And the waves are going up and down, and so one minute they can see Jesus, and the next they can't because he's now down in the trough. And with all the wind blowing, and it's nighttime, remember, it's nighttime. All the wind blowing, there's probably mist all over everywhere. It's dark. And so they sort of see Jesus maybe and sort of don't, and then maybe catch a glimpse and then they don't see him again. Is it any wonder, and really, who expects someone to walk on water? Is it any wonder, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Frankly, had we been in that situation, most of us would have wet our pants. Honestly. Thankfully, verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. When Jesus calls us or forces us into a boat, out on the sea, far from land, into the storm, he doesn't forsake us. It's a small thing, as I said, for Jesus to walk on the water to save us. That's not the question. Can he do it? Will he do it? The question is whether or not, when Jesus does come to save us, first, will we wait for him to come? And two, will we recognize him when he does come? Or will we think he's a ghost like the disciples did? The title of my sermon is called Playing It Brave. Playing it brave is not so much about our demeanor, trying to work up bravado. That's not what it means to play it brave. We don't play it brave because we are by nature brave. We play it brave because we know that our Lord will never, ever forsake us. So no matter where you are in life, never, never lose faith. Never lose faith. If you don't see Jesus coming in the first or the second watch, wait until the third. And if the waves obscure him and you think you see him and then you don't and you think you see him, that's okay. Just keep on looking for him until he reaches the boat. Never, never, never lose faith. It's a small thing for Jesus to walk on the water. A small thing. He will come to you. Believe that with all your heart. Believe it. No syrupy Christianity from me. I hate it. Jesus most definitely does send us into the storms. He does. Life can be tough. It's good, but it can be tough. And sometimes it's Jesus who pushes us right into the storm. The good news, the grace, he never forsakes us. Never, ever. Now, I simply love the last part. Look at our text again. Once again, I think we get it wrong. Verse 28, 29. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Once again, how do we typically view this scene? The old flannelgram. There they are, the disciples in the boat with those little bitty waves. It's daytime. It's always daytime with the flannelgram. And then, you know, you take that little Peter and you take him out of the boat and he's walking on the water. No big deal, right? It was nighttime. The wind was blowing all over the place. The waves were buffeting the boat. It was probably even hard to get out of the boat because the boat was doing this. And he could see Jesus 1 minute and then not see him, and then see him and not see him. And the storm hadn't been calmed yet. And it's in the middle of all that that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Isn't that cool? Peter gets a bad rap. You get 100 people, 99 will not get out of that boat in that situation. And I'm one of the 99. Isn't it amazing? Would you have gotten out of the boat? But as you know, Peter began to doubt, verse 30, 31. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did he doubt? The waves might have been 6 feet tall. He could see Jesus and not see Jesus, see Jesus and not see Jesus. Who among us wouldn't have doubted? Like, you start walking on the water and you go, is this crazy or what? And obviously, he started sinking because he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the waves. But once again, here's the grace. Verse 32. But when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him. Truly, you are the Son of God. God saved Peter, calmed the storm, and demonstrated just who he was. So the point, when Jesus sends us into the storm, he not only expects us to wait for him to come and save us. He sometimes, what glorious madness, he sometimes calls us to get out of the boat and walk on the water with him. The late Reverend Peter Marshall described modern-day Christians in this way, and this was in the 1940s. It's probably even more true today. Modern-day Christians, they are like deep-sea divers encased in suits designed for many fathoms deep, marching bravely forth to pull the plugs out of bathtubs. Christ is in the radical business of saving the world. He is in the radical business of saving the world. Not making our little boats more comfortable. Not making our little world nicer and safer. He's in the radical business of saving the world. So don't be surprised if every once in a while he calls you his child, his servant. Don't be surprised if every once in a while he calls you to get out of your boat and join him in doing something radical. And when you get out of the boat, that's when the really cool stuff happens. You get to walk on water with Jesus. Now, of course, there's a difference between stepping out in faith and stepping out in stupidity. If Jesus calls us out of the boat, that's stepping out in faith. If he doesn't call us out of the boat and we still step out of the boat, that's stepping out in stupidity. But think of Peter. Those huge waves, the wind, the boat rocking all over the place. Seeing Jesus, not seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus and not seeing Jesus. Peter basically looked the storm in the eye and said, "My God is greater than you. My God is greater than you." How about you and me? Do we look in at the storm and say the same thing? Take that, you storm. God is greater than you are. Or take that, pain. God is greater than you are. Take that, fear. My God is greater than you are. Or loneliness, or life. Take that, Satan. My God is greater than you are. None of the other disciples ever walked on water. Peter, yeah, he sank, but he walked on water. How cool is that? Play it brave. Don't play it safe. Play it brave. Wait for the Lord. And don't lose heart. He will come. He always does. And if he calls you to get out of the boat, get out of your little boat. And don't just get out of your little boat and walk on water. That's cool enough. get out of your boat, raise your hands and praise, and do a dance on the water. Because your God is greater than the storm. Let's pray. Lord, I confess, often I am thinking much more about my boat than I am about souls that are lost. And when things don't go the way I want them to go in my little boat, sometimes, like everyone else, I get miffed. Forgive me. I don't read anywhere in the scriptures where it says you died for my boat. You died for lost souls. Forgive us when we settle for anything less. And Lord, I praise you that you promised before you left this earth, you promised that you would be with us to the end of the age. You told us to take the gospel everywhere. And then you promised that you would be with us until the very end. We live in strange times. It's easy to fear. It's easy to dig in. It's easy to retreat. But you are greater than these tough times. And you are greater than anything that we are going through. Lord, may we take your hand boldly and follow you, even if that means into the storm, even if that means walking on water. We trust you. We trust you. In your name, amen.